Exodus chapter 30, reading verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed, throughout their generations. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. In the making and layout of the tabernacle's pattern, the brazen laver was the seventh piece of furniture to be built overall, but in the layout, it is the second piece of furniture within the court as the Israelite or priest entered in through the gate. Since the pattern was divinely given as to its making and use, then it's no coincidence that the brazen laver followed the brazen altar. Remember, we considered last time the brazen altar. It was the place of sacrifice, the place of justification, the place where sin is pardoned, where the Israelite was taught by faith the penalty and power of sin was put away by the shedding of blood. A substitute was accepted by God in their place. Next came then the brazen laver, which spoke of cleansing from dirt and defilement. As the priest served the Lord in the court, his hands and his feet became dirty by the dust of the ground, the blood and flesh from the slain of animals. And so you can imagine that he needed to be cleansed. Before the priest entered into the tent to meet with God, he first came to the brazen altar, and then he came to the brazen laver. And we said the reason why. The brazen altar, it deals with forgiveness of sins, justification, whereas the brazen laver deals with the cleansing of sins, teaching sanctification. And we said this is all about symbolism, typology, how the Israelite was taught the gospel in the Old Testament. Both the brazen altar and the brazen laver, they go together. They can never be separated. Just as justification and sanctification go together, yet they are distinct. Justification is a once and for all present pardon from sin's punishment and penalty. A person is either justified by God or they are not. There's no in between. There's no nearly getting there. There's no nearly getting justified or one day I might be. No, you're either justified or you're not. Justified fully or you're not. So justification is a once and for all pardon from sin, where sanctification is a continual process until glorification. Justification is the root of salvation, whereas sanctification is the fruit of salvation. Where there is justification, the pardon of sin, sanctification will always follow. When a sinner is justified, declared righteous by God, he has created within them that new principle, that desire for holiness to go on and go forward with God. And so the one who is justified will strive for sanctification, will strive for a holy living unto the Lord. And so we come to the brazen laver. The brazen laver does not deal with the need to be justified. It deals with the need to be cleansed for fellowship in order to serve God. So we will look at the brazen laver today. Notice some simple thoughts. The representation at the brazen altar, what did it represent? This will help us to establish the spiritual significance of the laver. The word laver means, or comes from a word meaning lavatory. In other words, the bathroom. It is a place to wash, a place to remove dirt and bacteria, and to be refreshed. Also, the word means a basin or something round. Now, while no shape is stated in the verses, yet it is suggested that this laver was a round shape for washing. And the brazen laver, it represented cleansing through the scriptures. And so keep that in mind. The brazen laver, speaking about cleansing from dirt and defilement, it symbolizes cleansing through the scriptures. Verse 18, thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass. Chapter 38, verse 8. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot was of brass, of the looking glasses, of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The word looking glasses, used in Exodus chapter 38, verse 8, does not mean glasses as in what I'm wearing or what other people may wear. Rather, the word looking glasses refers to polished metal brass. This would have been the metal brass that the people of Israel would have brought with them when they left Egypt, all the things that they took from Egypt with them. And so they had this looking glass, this metal brass that was polished. So in brass, as we've in scripture already, we've noted that brass speaks or symbolizes judgment. Remember, Christ spoke in John chapter 3, referring to the time and numbers of the brazen serpent. That serpent made of brass. And again, it was a picture of Christ as that brazen serpent was lifted up. So all who looked at Christ, all who looked at that serpent, they were healed from their disease, to symbolize Christ in his death would be lifted up. He would bear the judgment, and all who look to him will be wonderfully and gloriously saved. But in thinking of scripture and brass, notice in Psalm 119, at least 15 times the word of God is referred to as the judgment of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke in his day, in John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so there is judgment by the scripture. God will judge by his very word, his own standard. Furthermore, brass, as we've also noted in these studies, was a strong metal. It was a durable metal. And again, to symbolize the endurance of the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25 of 1 Peter chapter 1. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Psalm 12, verse 7. Referring to the word of God, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them for this generation forever. The brazen laver, as we said, was made from the women's looking glasses, and such was the shine from that polished metal. And then the water that was put within, whenever the priest looked into that brazen laver, his image was reflected. He saw himself as reflected by the laver, the polish and the water. It identified in his life what needed to be cleansed, the action that needed to be taken. And so as we've said, the laver, it symbolizes the word of God in that it's made from brass. And so we've learned already that brass is that metal that speaks of durability, endurance, a lasting metal. And so the word of God endures forever. It is lasting. But also, James chapter 1, verse 22-23, as the priest looked into the laver and saw his own reflection. What do we learn? James chapter 1, verse 22-23, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And the word glass used in James chapter 1 verse 23 is the word meaning a mirror. So you can read that, beholding his natural face in a mirror. And so the one who looks into a mirror, they see their reflection. I did that the other day. My wife said to me, your hair looks terrible. Not that I have any anyway, but it was all over the place, the little bits that I had. And so whenever I looked in the mirror, it has all these bits here. And so it showed me what parts needed to be cut. And I said to her, go easy on the head. But obviously she didn't. And so the whole point is, you look into the mirror and it identifies, it shows what needs to be done, what action needs to be taken. And so James is saying this, if a man hears the word of God and his sin and sin in his life is exposed by that very word, if he does not confess that sin that has been exposed, that person is a hearer of the word only. They are not a doer of the word. They hear what needs to be put right, but they neglect to do it. And so that person is like a man who looks into the mirror, sees what needs to be done, but does not fix it. And so the priest, as they looked into that laver, that polished, and saw the reflection, and identified the dirt, the stuff on their hands and different things, they showed them they needed to be cleansed. So when a Christian has neglected the laver of the word of God, and are not cleansed from sin, that will show by our actions, our attitudes, the very atmosphere surrounding that person. It all points to one where the word of God has not been applied. It points to one who has not spent time at the word of God. One who has not spent time at their labor. And so the Lord is teaching in his word. His word is a mirror to our lives. It identifies areas in our lives that must need attended to, whatever that may be, a better spirit, an attitude, our speech, any aspect you want to know. The word of God is like a mirror. It shows us ourselves as we read it. Our lives are judged by the word of God, not by the standards of men, not by ourselves. And so Psalm 119 verse 9, as we sang this morning, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Again, notice in verse 18 of Exodus chapter 30, thou shalt put water therein. And so this brazen laver has been polished through reflection, and the water is put in. Notice also verse 19, we read the word thereat. And so they washed at the brazen altar. They washed at the brazen laver, not in the brazen laver. They washed at it. And the whole point is this. So the laver itself was not contaminated by the works of men. The water that was poured into the laver was then taken and it flowed out to wash the hands and the feet. It was poured out. Otherwise, how could they put their feet in the laver? They would be lifting up like this here, and they just wouldn't be able to do that. And so the water was poured over their hands and over their feet. And in a sense, it was running water, in that it was continually flowing. It was continually supplying. It was continually cleansing where needed to be cleansed, the water and the hands and the feet. And so this is a powerful thought within itself. The water running freely over the priest's feet and over the priest's hands. because the water made the difference. When they came with their hands covered in blood and the animal's flesh and their feet covered in blood and covered in dust walking on the ground, whenever the water was applied, it made the difference. They were cleansed from this dirt and this defilement. And so what we're saying, the word of God, when applied to our lives, it makes all the difference. The water continually supplying, continually flowing in our lives, it makes the difference. Because Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 states the word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick means to make alive, to quicken. And so God's word, the water of the word, applied to our life continually. It quickens, it refreshes, it restores, it revives, it makes alive. Why? Because this word of God, the book that you have, is a living book. It's the living word of God. It's like running water. The more you read the word of God, the more your mind and your life is being cleansed by the power of the word. When you continually read the word of God, there's a continual flow of cleansing going to your mind, going to your life. That's why we need to be at the word. That's why we need to be involved in the word of God in order to meet with the Savior. Because verse 21 of Exodus 30, it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and his seed, throughout their generations. There was this continual supply. The labor continually cleansed from generation to generation, from day to day. There was the removal of dirt as the priest came, as the priest's sons came, and their generation after. They did the same thing. And there was impact by the labor. And so the application from our hearts, there is never a time when Scripture does not cleanse from sin. This book is living book. This book is living water. And time spent in the Word, time spent in the inspired Word of God, will refresh our lives. This book is not contaminated by the works of men. We're not to add into it or to take away from it. Not to change to all these perversions and corruptions and different things. Rather, we are to stay to the word of God. Just as the water running and flowing made the difference in the priest's hands and his feet cleansing, so this Bible changes our lives. God's word makes the difference in our lives personally, in our families, in our churches, and in our nations. That's why whenever you take the word of God out of society or out of schools and sadly today even out of churches, you're cutting off your supply, you're cutting off your flow, you're cutting off the water, you're cutting off the cleansing. And therefore, child of God, when you do not read God's word day by day, you're cutting off your flow, you're cutting off your supply, that cleansing, that refreshing, that reviving. And so the labor symbolizes the word of God. But also, not only does the brazen labor represent cleansing through the sun, but also the brazen labor represented cleansing through the scriptures, but also cleansing through the sun. We must remember the brazen labor was teaching that there is cleansing. But above all, Jesus Christ is the one who is our sanctifier and our sanctification. As we said, the brazen labor deals with cleansing, deals with sanctification, deals with going on. And so Jesus Christ is our sanctification. He is our sanctifier. He is the incarnate Word of God. When you think about sanctification, or you think about the word sanctified, I was asked this last time. There is a truth that we are sanctified, set apart, because that's what the word means. It means to be set apart. We are sanctified in that sense once and for all from the world on to God. For instance, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, for by one offering He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So we can say, yes, we are positionally sanctified. We have been set apart from the world by the Lord. We are his redeemed people, his covenant people. We have been set apart by him unto God. But when we're talking about sanctification, we're talking about purification to make holy. We're talking about progressive. We're talking about ongoing. We're talking about being conformed daily to the Lord, to Christ's own image. We're talking about day by day striving for holiness. So if you want to like a people who are, if you want to say it like this, a people who are sanctified are those who will strive for sanctification. They've been set apart by God to live that life, progressing on with God day by day. The tabernacle represented the person and work of Christ. And so every Israelite, they were taught about the Lord Jesus Christ in his life and in his death. They were, their minds were reflected, directed to think upon Christ. And so us, when we think about this study, our mind is to think about Christ, because 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 tells us, Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. And so Christ is our sanctifier. He is our sanctification. Our lives are to be more and more conformed to his image. And so there's cleansing through Scripture, and there's cleansing through the Son. But notice secondly, the reality of the brazen laver. Notice the words in verse 18 regarding the laver's placement. Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. The brazen laver was positioned between the brazen altar and the tent in which the priest served the Lord. As he ministered, he would be affected by the desert dust as he walked, but also, as we said, his hands would be covered from the filth of the animal's blood and flesh. And so here is the reality of the brazen laver. During the priest's service to God, during his activity in engaged in the Lord's work, he became filthy, defiled, and needed to be washed. And that is the reality. When God's people are complete, while God's people are completely delivered from the penalty and the power of sin, delivered from its curse and its condemnation, yet the laver taught the reality that they are not delivered from the presence and pollution of sin, its dirt and defilement. And this is a reality that all Christians need to face. The brazen laver taught the reality that cleansing is needed. And so we need to learn, child of God, the reality that every day we sin against God. When we are engaged in the Lord's work, we grieve the Lord by a thousand falls, and we need to be cleansed. Even our worship today, we have let down the Lord by a thought we've had, or agreement, or whatever it may be. And so there's cleansing. There is a false teaching going around that you can have, or a child of God can have, sinless perfection this side of eternity. Don't believe it, because it's not true. Those who are perfectionists, and they will say, if you are a child of God, you can have sinless perfection this side of eternity. And that is just not true at all. Really what they're saying is, while you live on earth, you can know a state of sinless perfection. No sin at all. No fault. And that is just, it's not real, and it's unscriptural. And therefore we need to learn the reality of Scripture, the truth that Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 says, for the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these two are contrary or against one another. So ye cannot do the things that ye would do. And so there is, every day we're engaged in this battle. The child of God wants to go on with God, but the world, the devil and the flesh enter into battle, so you will not do the things that you want to do. There is that pull back. There's a battle every day. There's a struggle. Again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say, and this really sums it up, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so, if believers did not struggle, if believers did not struggle with daily sin, there would be no need for cleansing. There would be no need for the brazen labor. There would be no need for the Lord to teach the lesson. But the brazen labor, though it speaks of cleansing, does not excuse sin. Rather, it provides cleansing because of daily defilement and causes us to strive for likeness to the Lord. The Lord Jesus in heaven, he appears in the presence of God. He prays for all his people, the church that he has purchased by his blood, that they will be holy, for he is holy. Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 26. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water. He prayed in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So as long as a believer lives on the earth, there will be need for cleansing from sin. It is only when we reach heaven will we have sinless perfection. Only when we reach heaven, that work that's begun within us will be fully complete. And therefore, as you're in the Word, there's continual cleansing. Believer, just as the brazen laver was centrally located in the tabernacle court, so the Word of God must be central in our lives daily. Psalm 119, again, verse 97. O how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Are you meditating at the Word of God? Are you meditating upon Scripture? Are you having that continual flow day by day? Notice also, finally, the routine at the brazen laver. Verse 18 and 19. Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. In the tabernacle, the sacrifice was presented to the Lord daily, in the morning and in the noon or evening. And throughout the day, their hands and their feet, as we've said already, became unclean. Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and wash their feet. Why is that significant? Well, hands relates to work. You work with your hands. And feet refer to walking as you walk back and forth. And so their work and their walk needed to be washed in order to serve God, in order to please the Lord, to have fellowship with him. Again, Isaiah 52, verse 11. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And so the priest, each time, he must go to the laver to wash. The reason being, after the brazen laver, the priest would enter into the tent of the tabernacle, which was to meet with God. But he could not enter into that tent and fellowship with God in defilement and uncleanness. There must be cleansing from contamination and defilement. What he has picked up, if you like, that day, what's come on him that day, must be cleansed. What's impacted him that day must be washed away. And so the priest would continually wash throughout the day, go to the sacrifice, then go to the laver, wash, and then go into the tent and come back out of the tent. He would wash again and do the same work. So every time they were in service for God and in the presence of God, they were to be washed. Otherwise, God would not meet with them. Again, have we quoted this verse a number of weeks? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm not cleansed from sin, the Lord will not meet with me. Fellowship would be hindered. Again, verse 21. They shall wash their hands and their feet. You can read 20 as well, but 21. They shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. And so here the Lord removed them. If they tried to come into his presence in this dirt and defilement, he would not meet with them. And he removed them, just as he did for those in Paul's day, who in the church at Corinth, whenever they came drunken to the table of the Lord, they were chastised in that the Lord took them from the scene of time. He just brought them out. So it was the routine daily for Aaron and his sons, the priest, to come to the brazen laver to wash the dust and the dirt from their hands and their feet in order to meet with God. And therefore, child of God, must be our daily routine. As we come to meet with God, we have to have cleansing from the daily pollution and corruption of sin. In the morning, throughout the day and at evening, we need to be cleansed. Because throughout the day, there's things that we hear. There's things that we see. There's things that come upon us. And it distracts us, it disturbs us, it distresses us. And we need to be cleansed from it. Our eyes, our ears, everything. Before you read your Bible, pray for cleansing. As you come to worship the Lord, pray for cleansing. This could be the reason why today so many believers claim they get nothing out of their Bible. You ever heard that before? I've heard it plenty of times. Could also be the reason why many people don't get anything from coming to God's house, because they don't spend time in the Word. They're not being cleansed by the Word. They're not having that continual supply from the Word. And therefore, God will not meet with them because sin is not confessed. In closing, this is illustrated by the Savior. In John chapter 13, whenever the disciples traveled from Bethany in chapter 12, verse 1, to Jerusalem, we learn that whenever they would enter into the house on that day, the master of the house, or as the strangers come in, the master or the servant, whoever it was, they would come into the house. As the master would come back from his duty, or strangers would come into the house, it was the servant's duty to then get a basin and wash the master or the visitor's feet. Obviously, as you know, in those days, the sandals, walking in the dust, their feet had become dusty. And so there needed to be cleansing. And so what the Lord does, we learn he takes that place of the servant and he begins to wash the disciples' feet as they have come in. Their feet are dirty, they're dusty. But it comes to Peter. Now, there's many lessons, let me just say, I will preach on this passage because there's many other lessons. You can take different lessons from it as we've done on other occasions. But on this part, we're just looking at this part. Verse 8, the Lord says, Peter says to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." So the Lord's washed all the other disciples' feet. But Peter says, "Thou shalt never wash my feet, cleanse my feet." And the Lord answers, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And that word part means fellowship. Again, remember the same word used of Mary. Mary has chosen the better part. She worshipped the Lord. She fellowshiped with the Lord, while Martha didn't. Martha was distracted. And so the Lord says, "If I wash thee not, if I cleanse thee not, thou hast no part, no fellowship with me." Because fellowship can only be enjoyed when there's cleansing, when the dust and all the rest has been gone from our lives. And so that's what the Lord was teaching to Peter. "If I don't wash thee, you have no part, there's no fellowship with me." And so in our lives, if we're not cleansed from sin, there's no fellowship with the Lord. And so the Lord washed his feet. And again, like I said, there's more lessons we can go into with that, but we'll leave that for another time. But just to say, child of God, our hands and our feet, our lives, need to be continually cleansed by the Word of God. Spend time at your brazen laver, the Word of God. Get back to the Word of God. Because the Lord said in John 15, verse 3, now are ye clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. We've looked at this tabernacle, its building, and we've seen they came through the one gate, spoke of one entrance, one way into God's presence. Through that gate came the brazen altar, spoke about the shedding of blood, about a sacrifice, a substitute, to speak about sin is forgiven by Christ, his precious blood, he's the sacrifice. And then from that is the brazen laver that speaks of cleansing, going on with God, serving the Lord. And then after the brazen laver, you go into the tent to meet with God. And so, child of God, I pray that these lessons will be near to your heart and that we will enjoy fellowship with God by knowing this cleansing through the flowing of the Word of God for his name's sake. Amen.